This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Additional support comes from help from Paul Hackman, Jason Hawthorne, and Colm, creator of the webcomic Colmics.com. That's Colmics. This episode is for you.
Red, red, red alert. Red.
I just alert. Fixed that damn thing.
Red, red, red.
Turn
alert.
It off, will you?
Why does God need a starship? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 59. This is the show where we mine the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. With me tonight is Brian Go Climb a Rock Dunaway.
I'm totally into that three-titted Catwoman over there. Usually not into calicos, but you know what? I'm got my Klingon suit halfway off and rubbing my nipples. It was nice.
Wow.
But yeah, it was a little disturbing. That whole scene really upset
me. Three-titted Catwoman.
Three-titted Catwoman. I don't understand why it was three. Usually cats have four, but I'm not going to talk about that. Also, yeah, we're six. Also, jet boots make people arrogant.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Nice. Glad you snuck that one in there. Also with us, Randy Cybok Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. This week's film reminds me of a summer I spent hypnotizing people into doing my will. It was great fun, and nobody got hurt except for God. You know, had to take him down.
Oh, big blue-headed floaty God. Indeed. And finally, Brian, take away my pain, Ibbot.
All right, Spock, sing that song. Sing that song I like, Spock. Sing that song I like.
Dude, nice. Take Away My Pain is one of my favorite songs.
Take Away My Pain?
Yeah, by Dream Theater.
Is that an actual song? I didn't know that. Yeah. Did they name it after Star Trek V, The Final Frontier?
I was just glad they had Row, Row, Row My Boat in it.
I know. We just can't do a damn movie without Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
What is up with that? I didn't even think about it until they were halfway singing it, and I went, what is going on? I feel like there's some kind of weird conspiracy going on.
And in every movie we've done, there's always one person who doesn't want to sing it.
Right. No one wants to sing it. They represent everybody else. Don't sing it.
Dude, Troll.
It's the only song we could get the rights to.
That's right. Clearly freeware.
What has Troll 2 done to us? That's what I want to know. All right.
What are you watching?
Well, we're talking about Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, Brian. And you don't have to take my word for it. Scott Fletcher has a few things to say. Oh. Scott Fletcher has a few things to say.
Star Trek V. Captain Kirk, played by William Shatner, leads his crew on a mission to free kidnapped diplomats. Arriving at the planet Nimbus 3, Kirk and crew come face to face with the captor, a smiling Vulcan named Cybok, played by Lawrence Luckinbill, who's Spock's half-brother. Obsessively searching for God, Cybok hijacks the Enterprise and sets a course for the center of the galaxy. The film marks Shatner's directorial debut.
Dubious as it may be.
Dubious is not quite the word for it.
No. How about...
The funny thing is that he wasn't like tapped. They didn't go like, excuse me, Shatner, would you like to direct a movie? No, this man said... I'll sign a 2-movie deal contract and let Leonard do it if you let me do the next one after that.
Is that the deal? Is that how that went?
That's how that went.
So
that's
Leonard Nimoy, well, not Leonard. Well, yeah, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, he did the two before this.
I always got confused because Bones' character in Star Trek's name was Leonard.
Yeah.
Leonard McCoy. Oh. And it always threw me off when people are like, Leonard Nimoy will soon hang out with Leonard McCoy. Wait, what? Who the hell's Leonard? But I didn't know that. I would say that Spock proved himself to be rather adept at the director.
He was very good. I love the ones he did. But yeah, Shatner.
Well, I won't say
to making love to the mountain.
I won't say I won't say I loved Nimoy's takes. Like I thought 3 and 4 were fun.
Yeah.
But my favorites weren't those. What he did is he showed he could direct movies that weren't exactly Star Trek movies. Yeah. Like the whales and all that stuff kind of made Star Trek 4 not really a Star Trek movie, kind of in a weird way. And he did fine with like 3 Men and a Baby and all that. Stuff that
I am gonna defend Shatner later, but
oh, dude, yeah. You cannot. It cannot be his directorial stuff.
It is. It's well. I'm going to defend him just a little bit.
Right. Don't forget,
he did write the original script for this.
Yeah, he's just responsible for the story too. We can bend the whole thing on him.
That's true. Well, him and so how much did Roddenberry have to do with it? Because he's on the writing credits as well.
Nothing. I'm pretty sure he had nothing. I'm pretty sure he ran away screaming.
On IMDb, Gene Roddenberry's credit is listed as creator based on Star Trek. So it's basically saying he came up with these characters that William Shatner is bending over. And
okay, so I'm trying to think. Roddenberry still had another, let's see, he died in mid-90s, late 90s?
Yeah, wasn't that's
it?
Right.
Yeah, right before Voyager, after Deep Space Nine, I think.
Right. Anyway, get that right. We got Trek fans listening. Better do some searching.
Yeah. By the way, I think there's one or two. I may be wrong and exaggerating, but there might be one or two Star Trek connections in this movie.
Maybe just one.
Throwing that out there. Directed, of course, by William Shatner. He is listed as creator. Oh, you're correct. So
he died in 91, probably as a direct result of, a few years after this was released.
Final Frontier. Yeah.
He died in 91?
Yeah.
Wow.
It doesn't seem that long ago, but apparently it was.
Weird to me. That doesn't sound right, but all right. I'll take your word for it. William Shatner as James T. Kirk, directing himself just the way he likes it. Yeah. Of course, the regulars, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan. That's Scotty, of course. Walter Koenig, Nichelle Nichols. I can't say her name right. George Takei or Takei or whatever you like to say.
How did we not see he was gay? I mean, honestly, I mean, I didn't see
especially
it.
Especially in this film.
Especially totally in the beginning. I did not see it.
Remind me. Oh, with the
and
beginning.
I'm not judging anything of his lifestyle or gay people, but I'm just saying, how did we not see it?
Well,
when he's walking around with Chekhov and they're lost, it's same thing. You know, how did I not see this? How could I miss this?
Yeah. Well, we weren't exactly looking.
How was Liberace gay? I never saw that coming.
You know what I mean? We weren't really trying to figure these things out.
No.
Yeah,
I guess so.
You know what? Nobody ever thought about Sulu and went, I wonder if he's gay. Like, that never crossed my mind, ever.
Not once.
Until he came out and said, I'm gay. And we all went, okay, all right, whatever.
It wasn't in that high voice. It was, I'm gay.
Yeah, I'm gay.
Hello. I love Sulu. I still think there should be a Sulu spinoff series where he's like,
yeah, he's still around. He could do something.
He could totally do it. He looks younger than the rest of them.
Well, I loved him in Heroes. I mean, really, not much to redeem in that, but
yeah, his great part. Mm-hmm. It was good. I liked him in that. That had a Star Trek connection, that movie, that show.
Totally.
My favorite credit in the entire thing is George Murdoch, who played God.
Awesome.
I thought Zardoz.
You thought it was Zardoz?
Yeah. Floating giant heads.
Yep.
That chase people.
Yep. Nothing barfed up guns, unfortunately. Except for that cool PVC pipe gun that.
That was actually a really good piece of tech, and that looked really cool.
It looked like someone made it, though.
But that's what I loved about it. It was supposed to.
It looked like home.
Of course,
craft.
Someone made it in the movie. He lives in the desert. All he's doing is protecting some holes, which I don't know what he was doing with the holes, but apparently they're valuable to him.
DIY.
There were a lot of odd things like that.
Yeah,
where on first blush you're like, what in the world is that for?
Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of props like that.
Yeah,
one of which I'll call out later in very specific terms. But this is our second Film Sack movie featuring, or correct me if I'm wrong, if we've done more, but I think it's just second with David Warner, who was our Star Trek connection when he appeared in The Omen.
Yeah,
for both this role as St. John Talbot and also for his role as Gorgon or whatever the hell it was in the next Star Trek movie. Isn't that weird? Like, hey, we really liked you in that last one. In fact, you were the only one that did any acting. So how do you feel about being a Klingon ambassador in the next one?
What'd you think about the Klingon horse that came up in the beginning? Was that not odd?
It was awesome. What? Odd.
That Klingon unicorn horse. I didn't even notice it the first time. And I was like, and the horse started shaking his head. And I'm like, that freaking horse has got some kind of Klingon.
Brian, that's badass.
I think he's been having sex with the Klingon.
No, you missed that. You've got it wrong. That is completely badass. I think that
you're right.
Every Star Trek race ought to have a horse to go with it.
Yes. That has the same nose appliance or forehead appliance or whatever it is.
Or the little blue skin with the little bobby ears.
Little ears, yeah.
Yeah, the little suction cup ears. That'd be great.
It's an Andoran horse. Oh, look, that must be
look it's the Bajoran horse. How do you know? Its nose is ribbed for your pleasure. What?
I would love to have a whole book of that on my, it's right there to lay on the coffee table. A whole book of just... Star Trek horses races.
Yeah, that would be actually really interesting.
A
coffee table book of stuff from Star Trek that a casual Star Trek viewer would have never noticed.
Yeah.
You know, like people could have watched 100 episodes of shows and all the movies back when they were, fresh. And you show them this book and it's stuff like, this wasn't a movie? Are you kidding me? Look at that.
Oh, wow. She had a camel toe?
This is a really good idea, this horse thing. I think we should pursue it. I don't think that's bad at all. Anyway, David Warner, not phoning it in, doing a great job. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. There are four lights. Five.
I thought he sucked in this movie.
Really?
It's relative to the surrounding, I suppose.
Well, he's kind of an ass, but in the movie, mm-hmm.
He's just brainwashed, and practically everyone is. And that's the big flaw in the film, is that Shatner basically said, all right, so these three characters I'm going to call good, and everyone else are a bunch of losers who just get brainwashed and do whatever.
Good point.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, too, though. But in some ways, I was kind of like, this is kind of like Roddenberry's kind of thing he did during this TV series. It was kind of like that. It was them three against everybody. I mean,
I think this was Shatner's comment. I don't think he really liked the rest of the cast. I don't think he liked the other characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was constantly happening in the series where somebody would almost always people were getting brainwashed or something was happening or they would have some kind of fever and they would take their shirt off and fence people in the halls. But the core of, Kirk and Spock and McCoy, it was usually them racing against time to correct the wrongs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, McCoy was definitely racing against time in this movie. He is really looking old.
You know that you could pick out pretty much any episode of the original series and even the first four movies, and you're going to see all these other characters having a really important part to play. Mm-hmm. You're going to see Scotty, and you're going to see Chekhov and so forth doing important stuff.
Yeah.
And in this film, you just felt like you were getting Shatner's commentary on all those characters.
I tell you, the thing that pissed me the most about this movie is the Enterprise's actual role. The ship itself is a character.
It's zero.
Zero. And I really hated that. The fact it was actually a joke. I mean, it was broken and it was just useless.
Yeah. It was a terrible prop. It was a trope, if you will.
Yeah.
Just to allow people to sort of go, oh, the ship's broken. That's funny. The first time you mentioned it.
God, yeah.
That was pretty bad. Also, Uhura and freaking Scotty had some kind of weird hidden love thing happening there.
I kind of was creeped out at first. And I was kind of like, all right.
I mean, Riker and Troy, you can kind of get behind,
Yeah.
So to speak. But I don't know if I can get behind the Commander Uhura and Commander Scott getting it on.
Data
over there.
And Tasha Yar, hubba hubba.
Oh, dude, gross. Gross. I forgot about that.
It was awesome.
Gross.
She's totally a robot. Yeah.
Painted up Data, Brent Spiner, and freaking Tasha, disgusting, gross pig, smelly breath Yar.
Hey,
rolling around in the ship. I do not like her.
That was evil.
I don't like her at all. I've never liked her. She's my least favorite Star Trek in the history of Star Trek.
She's not that
character.
Ugly,
I mean,
though.
Character.
I mean, yeah. Well,
think about it. It's just okay. Let's do this. Why not? Let's do this. What is your least favorite Star Trek character in the history of any of the series or films? Brad Ibbett, who do you hate?
This is an easy one for me. It's that guy, Star Trek Next Generation character that was basically the model for the inept crew member, because you had to say, well, how come everybody on this crew is really good, but then there's this inept guy. And I'm trying to remember his name. Murdoch. It was a nickname.
I know who you talked about.
Oh, my gosh. Are you talking about
Barkley?
Barkley.
Yes. Broccoli. Yes.
Broccoli. Mad Murdoch.
Well, that was the A-team. We're talking Star Trek here.
But he was awesome.
He was a bad actor at being a bad crew member.
No, this is good. This is good because what Ibbot has done is he's exhibited the same kind of thing I have, which is a character the rest of you are surprised about. I thought Barkley was okay. But no, I mean, if you think about it, Barkley was kind of a foil. I mean, it's just like
a foil, but he's somebody that, you know, with the rigorous standards that have to be met to be on a spaceship, he never would have made it through the academy. Right. He never would have made commission onto the Enterprise. Come on.
Yeah. Sad, bald nerd. Okay. Brian Dunaway, who's your least favorite?
Easy for me. I hated Q.
Oh, see, I love Q.
Man. Hated Q. Hated the fact that he was totally overpowered. I mean, it was every time he was on screen, it was like, it was constantly making me think, you're making the whole show contradict itself. Stop it. It's like, oh, you're going to screw it up? Yep, you screwed it up.
He was OP, for sure.
Yeah. He was totally OP.
Q was completely OP. He
needed to be nerfed.
So, yeah, he totally needed to be nerfed. So, now I'm loving this, because look how diverse everything is so far. I can't wait to hear this final one. So, yeah. Randy, your least favorite character in Star Trek?
As Jake Sisko on Deep Space Nine.
Sisko.
I like Sisko.
The thing about that relationship was that they had to set it aside so much that then once in a great while, all of a sudden, what was his dad, Benjamin Sisko, would suddenly have a script, you know, an episode that involved Jake, and all of a sudden, Cirroc Lofton is like 2 years older than the last time you saw him. And he's growing like a weed. So every appearance by him, he's 6 inches taller than last time. And it's like, I don't know if he was doing other work or what, but he was never playing the character the same. And I always just felt like somebody came along and said, you know, I'm going to write an episode and we're going to fix our whole thing we screwed up with Wesley Crusher by making Jake Sisko badass. And they never actually made him badass. That he was just a problem for.
Yeah, but he was that series Wesley, right?
Yeah. No, he was, in fact, that series Wesley was Quark's kid, Quark's brother's kid,
Nog or whatever the hell it was.
Right. That was that series Wesley. And he was actually really cool. That guy.
Can I mention one that may surprise some people?
Yeah.
Seven of Nine. Couldn't stand her.
Oh, dude.
Come on. Great to look at. Could not stand the character.
Why? She's a Borg.
Hated. Yeah, I liked her. I liked her a lot better than the Vulcan on Enterprise.
Really? Oh, I love her. Oh, I love her.
We are all over the map on our least and favorites.
But to bring it back around, I just got to say, I thought Denise Crosby in The Next Generation was awesome.
Ugh.
I really do. I was hurt when she died. You know, like I really.
I was like, yeah, you guys have come to your senses. Done. Out. Finished. Black blob of goo finally took her away.
Worst death ever. I love that. That was great, though. You got to admit, in the history of everything, it stands out there.
Yeah, Jake Sisko is probably my least favorite of Deep Space Nine, so I kind of agree with you. If we broke it down series by series, I'm sure we'd have different answers. But, yeah, overall, I'll take the Denise Crosby over any of those others. Anyway, all right. I liked her in Dexter. She had that little brief role. Mm-hmm. She's super old, though. No.
How was she that different, though? I don't understand.
It's hard to explain.
She was in Dexter.
Chilled out. There was a lot of attitude off screen that really made me dislike her. It wasn't really the character.
Denise Crosby?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know.
I'm asking, was she was in Dexter?
Yeah. She got killed in Dexter. She was one of his victims. I can't remember the deal surrounding it, what the deal was, but she took it bad. She got it bad. She got wrapped in saran wrap, put in the basement, that whole thing. It was nasty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't a black blob this time. They got it.
No, it's too bad.
All right. Back to our film. How did we get off there? Oh, David Warner. I liked him. He was good. But I understand how you, it was a kind of a very unlikable character. There's no question about that. But I think that was intentional. I guess. I don't know what Shatner was doing, dude. I don't know what the hell he was doing for half this movie. I have a few things good to say about it, but One thing I wanted to get out of the way real early here is that we got some cool trivia I'll do in a second, but I don't remember the movie at all. Like
me either.
I blocked it out. 89 was a long time ago. I don't remember anything from that year. So
really, I saw this movie and Batman on the same day. I had been at Boy Scout camp, and they both came out while I was away. And I had the books. I had the novelizations of both these movies at Boy Scout camp, and I read them. And then the day I got home from camp, I went and saw Star Trek V and Batman. Thank goodness in that order.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember from this movie when I watched it, and I've seen it before, absolutely, was the rock climbing with Kurt. That was it. Mm-hmm. And that's all I remember.
After I remember that, too. I remember all the camping, the camping and the rock climbing. I remember all that. But that was pretty much it.
Remember Captain Ronnie Man Kirk?
But what I like about the seeing it the second time is that it felt very new to me. I felt like I was watching a new movie for Film Sack and seeing it very fresh with new eyes. And that I kind of enjoyed. That didn't make the film much better, but here are a few interesting bits of trivia that I culled about this film. The film's special effects were not done by ILM, despite the fact that something happens later in the movie that we have to talk about.
Did you guys see it in full high definition in 1080p?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix Blu-ray set.
I went and grabbed the Blu-ray, and I was very disappointed in the transfer of those effects.
Mm.
How did you feel, Brian?
Yeah, the whole film felt really muted, especially the stuff that happened in space, like stars and stuff that should have been crystal clear and sharp as a tack were blurry and
That looked blurry even in low def.
The whole when Kirk, spoiler, when Kirk falls off the mountain.
Yeah,
that was the worst.
That was awesome. That was these were moments that I was really glad I don't remember because they're really, really bad and really great as a result. Like that fall is so stupid. Yeah. And a lot of those effects
are
stupid.
I love when Leonard Nimoy flips over ever so slowly. It's like, oh my God, is he ever going to finish flipping over? Here he comes.
It reminded me of this like relatively famous scene from Big Bang Theory where Sheldon and Leonard are arguing about Superman stopping someone's fall.
Yeah.
And how it's impossible, particularly it because it's a feat of strength.
Yeah.
And you would just kill the person falling, you know?
Yep.
And I couldn't stop thinking about that. Like he's falling. Like you gotta catch him pretty early and then slow down for a long time. Or you're just going to kill him. No, he catches him at the last instant, an inch above the ground.
Last possible instant. And the best part was his desire or his decision as captain to yell the word fall the entire time he fell. That was great.
What he was yelling. Was that what he's yelling?
He says, I'm about to fall.
That makes sense.
And he did it the whole way down. That was great. I loved that. Anyway, but I'm not supposed to. It was terrible, but it was. I freaking loved it. Yeah. Anyway, and these guys are, they're in their 60s or something by then.
And I'm going to hand it to him because I'm going to take away a lot from this guy. The scene where Shatner has to act out the explanation of how he knew he was okay and so forth. That's such a beautiful scene. You know, he's there with the other
Lord
two.
Of the Rings. Yeah.
No, I love that. There are a few moments like that, Randy, that I thought were great and poetic and maybe on the little simple side, but the nerd in me went, oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's the three main dudes. This is Star Trek. And then they would blow it with something else. But for a moment there, you were like, yeah, I'm totally down with this. So ILM was working on Ghostbusters 2 in 89 and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Those are way better gigs. So these guys had to do their other thing.
Those are like way Ghostbusters better gigs. 2, but...
I guess this really hindered the film, according to the trivia, because the ending was supposed to be much longer. Kirk simply being chased by God is what happened.
And apparently can destroy God with bullets.
Yeah. I guess the effects were real bad, so they got rid of it. They were replaced with more shots of George Murdoch's God face, except his eyes were more glowy. This is one of my favorites. The Enterprise D corridor sets were Star Trek Next Generation sets, and they were used as Enterprise A corridors in this film. There were a few cosmetic alterations, so they did not interfere with filming of the TV series, which was underway at the time. So these guys are like bumping uglies at the freaking set going, okay.
These guys kind of hopped onto somebody else's boat. I think that's pretty cool.
I love that.
Are you going to be using hallway section number A19 for the next hour? Cool. All right, we're going to use that.
Speaking of the fall, stuntman Kenny Bates, Kenny Bates. I don't know.
Bates,
is credited with the highest descending fall in the U.S. Was he, wow, as he was
so he
standing
did that
in
for reals,
yeah, man. Yeah, he fell that far, I guess.
All while saying the word fall.
Oh, was it that fall? I thought it might be another fall.
If you want to laugh, go back, because I did when I was capturing clips. Go back and watch when the camera's upside down and Spock is holding him upside down.
Yeah.
And McCoy's running up to him upside down on the camera view.
Yeah.
That ain't McCoy. That's a stand-in.
Really?
Oh,
totally. There were several things like that in this movie.
I was too busy watching his pants that were too tight. Oh, my.
All right. This is one of my favorite bits, too. This is probably on your Blu-ray commentary stuff, but cutscenes included Kirk being pursued by rock monsters on the God planet.
Right.
The rock monsters were men in rubber suits and also included a smoking effect. This is what happened. The rock monsters were scrapped due to lack of believability and time constraints.
Right. We have no problem believing the bald guy's teeth, yeah, but we're not going to believe this rock monster thing.
Yeah. I actually like the bald guy's teeth. It was kind of...
It was a denture.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It's weird looking.
That whole first scene, like Dune or something. I really liked it. Like at first I was like,
too.
Ooh, I don't remember this. This is really well filmed. This could be awesome. It's in the desert. That's where I live. I love the desert, right?
Yep.
And then it all goes to shit.
I know. And that horse was creepy coming up. And, the first 4 minutes of this movie, if you don't watch anything else but that is just amazing cinematography.
I kind of agree. I think it was really
cool. It's a good
cool.
setup.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. They just kind of, I don't know.
And then how they end it with Spock's brother going,
Yes.
That guy was great.
Dang it.
Final film voyage of the complete original crew, by the way. So some would say, well, wait, what about the next movie, Undiscovered Country? Sulu was in that, but only in a scene where he was the Excelsior captain. Was never in the same scenes with anyone. Totally filmed separately. So this is the last time they were all hanging out.
Oh.
And Sulu hated Kirk. Well, sorry, T'Kai hated Shatner.
I can't imagine why.
A lot.
The machoest man in history.
Yep.
Meets the friendliest guy you'll ever meet.
Of course, with Generations, at that point, a bunch of them were refusing to make these movies anymore, which is really sad because I think that was kind of based... This film had something to do with how little they did going forward. You know, this movie stunk up the joint, and slowly but surely, Leonard Nimoy basically was saying, I'm not going to have much more to do with this. And that's too bad because Generations was a pretty good film. It was a lot of fun. You know?
Yeah, I thought Generations was all right. It was a... what's his name wrote it? Ronald Moore wrote it. One of his first, you know, major writing credits outside of the series. And he showed, I don't know. I thought Generations could have been total poop. It could have been terrible. And it was actually all right. Too much Whoopi Goldberg, though, for my taste.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Not a fan. Not a fan in her in Star Trek. That's all I'm saying. She's fine. And I mean, Color Purple, I'll give that to her.
You'll let her have that one?
I'll let her have that one. That one's all right.
Ghost, maybe?
Maybe Ghost. Lawrence Luckenball, who played Cybok, is the real-life son-in-law of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. And so Desi, but here's the fun part. Desi and Lucy's production company, Desi Lu Productions, produced the first two seasons of Star Trek in 66, which is pretty cool.
That's right.
And this is the final little bit. According to George Takei, he originally turned down this film.
Why is it so hard to say Takei?
I don't know.
Takei
is gay. Got it.
Okay, while on the subject of sexual appeal.
Were we on that subject?
Yes,
why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Uhura, when she does her desert dance scene. First of all, where did she get that freaking bikini suit from?
That's what she wears under her uniform.
Yeah.
Apparently. And secondly.
Standard issue.
I couldn't figure out if it was attractive or if it was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
It was the siren call, dude. Grossed me out.
Yes.
That was not cool. Not cool. It was her idea, I guess, according to something I read.
It was totally unnecessary. And there was a bunch in that sequence that was completely unnecessary. Like, we're gonna beam down and ride horses in. Why don't you just beam in?
Yeah, beam in.
They couldn't.
Beam in.
It's ridiculous.
You didn't hear the part where
they have Spock. They can figure out a way.
Yeah, they have Spock. Spock knows how to nerve pinch.
Scotty said they're down. They'll have to take the shot.
Yeah, but Spock knows how to nerve pinch a damn horse, dude.
I love that. That was actually my favorite scene.
No, it's my favorite moment in Star Trek history.
He knows how to give a Vulcan death grip to a horse, but not his own brother? Come on.
Oh, I'm telling you, man.
When they first encounter the bad guy, I'm like, all right, pinch him out. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Nope, you saved it for the horse. I'm telling you, it's like horse tranquilizer. It takes a lot more. And that is the single, I'm saying it today, I believe this, this is bigger than Khan, this is bigger than any other moment in Star Trek film history. The moment Spock puts a horse down with a Vulcan nerve pinch is the greatest moment in Star Trek ever.
And congratulations, it looked believable, and I don't know how they pulled it off.
It was great, dude. Yeah. I want to watch that again. I bet it's all over YouTube. I got to go see it.
It's got to be.
So good. Anyway.
Or You're the Man Now, Dog, clip or something. Yeah.
All right. I have a, it's early yet, but I have one of these. Trope alert.
Ooh.
Kirk and crew are old doing young people things.
Yeah.
This is always going on in the last, especially in the last chunk of Star Trek films. But it's this idea of, hey, look at us mountain climbing and camping and doing stuff that there's no way we could do in real life.
Yeah. Old people don't camp?
Well,
no, but that's not the thing. It's that every new generation you have of like entertainment, you have all of these young people doing badass stuff, and at the same time you have the previous generation who still want to make movies.
Yeah.
Or who some people still want to make movies. And what are you going to have them do? Well, you have to have them do the same stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So we were unbelievable, though. Yeah.
We were all getting to watch, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 and these young people. And at the same time, here are these people getting older and older and older, and they're doing young people stuff. It's a constant.
There is,
you know,
nothing,
like the, we just saw the movie Red, you know, and it's the same exact thing.
Yeah, they do that a bunch in Red, I've heard. I haven't seen the movie yet, but it's like that. It's like any of these things where even if it's a franchise or not, and usually it is a franchise, but they'll start to be like, oh, I'm getting too old for this, jokes. Always happens. Drives me crazy.
Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Yeah. Luckily, they only did like one. I was kind of proud they only did like one or two here in this one. And I really liked it when he said, I miss my old chair.
Oh, you like that? I captured that, I think.
I really dug that. That felt good because he missed the old ship, and I wanted more of the ship.
All that camping stuff as well was okay in one regard. I felt like that was some of the best McCoy material. It was also some of his worst. But there were a few moments, you know, where it's all jokes on
when
Spock.
When have beans ever been delicious?
When you put whiskey in them.
Yeah, when you smother them in whiskey, absolutely.
That's right.
Randy, you're our resident whiskey expert. Is that something people do, whiskey and beans?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Is scotch a whiskey?
Right now.
Is scotch a whiskey?
Yes.
Okay.
Scotch is the best whiskey.
I always thought scotch was a separate thing.
Nope.
No, it's whiskey. All right. And it's the best whiskey.
Bourbon's a whiskey. And
oh, bourbon is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that what the dogs carry around their necks and the polar ice caps that save people?
I think so.
I always thought it was brandy. I always thought they showed up with a big cask of brandy.
You're right.
It is brandy.
Which is, you know, wine liquor.
Those dogs don't exist, do they?
No, I mean, they don't.
The kind of dog exists.
Well, the dogs exist.
Yeah, yeah. But they're never trained.
They don't have little wooden kegs.
Brandy delivery. That's so stupid.
I just felt like this movie was so badly written. I felt sad sometimes, and I actually remarked aloud to Samantha, if I had been the actor here, if I'd been DeForest Kelly here, I would have said, could I change my line slightly to make it good, reasonable? It's internally paced poorly, my line.
Yeah,
I could say it better.
I think he would have said that 2 decades earlier, but in this, at age 904, he was saying, between lines, he was saying things like, I don't know who I am.
Can someone change my sack?
I don't know where I am.
I need someone to change my sack.
Who's Bones? Oh, it's me again. Well, shit.
Well, they do top bill William Shatner for the story, but one of the things that he complained about was they really lightened it up. They brought a couple other writers in, and they really lightened it up. So I wonder how much was Shatner's fault.
Well, it could have been a combination of things. I just think it's, I don't know. I feel like nobody knew what the hell they were doing for most of it.
Oh, it's so damn easy to blame Shatner for this.
It's easy. Actually, you're right. It is easy to blame Shatner for this. But I can kind of step back and go, just if I went as just a general storyline, it's actually pretty clever storyline. And it's kind of a good idea.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, the idea is brilliant. I love the idea. It's one of my favorite concepts in the Trek films, sure.
But like, for example, you've got this intergalactic criminal, basically. I mean, this guy, what this guy's doing is horrific. He's brainwashing people into stealing ships, you know,
literally like brainwashing them, like not just telling them ideas, but literally has some kind of magic mojo that he's brainwashing.
And instead of making him genuinely bad, they try to make it so that you can kind of buy that even people who resist his brainwashing would still play along because he's sort of charming and whatever, and it doesn't work. And instead, you should have had this long journey to the center of the galaxy, during which the people who had resisted him were still resisting, were trying to get the ship back, trying to stop what he was doing and so forth. And it should have been a really interesting sort of diehard sequence for about 20 minutes. And it just was thrown away, that whole thing.
That was the biggest part of this movie that I hated, was there was no actual bad guy. I mean, everybody ended up being fairly okay. In the end, you know, he ends up doing what he has to do to save everybody and repents. And also, even the Klingon that's chasing them the entire time, he just kind of like tucks his tail between his legs at the end.
It's kind of like it's a bit of a trope. Oh, sorry. It's more appropriate we play that sound on this show. It's a bit of a trope that the guy who you think is the bad guy throughout the whole thing, is ambiguous, and then in the end is kind of a good guy and just misled, and now is completely his worldview is completely shattered by a giant blue godhead thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But we were never given the depth of story to explain what got him here.
Totally, totally.
We just have to accept.
Why was he in the desert?
Yeah.
Right. What gave him this idea, and what is so damn important? You know, he says it's important, but he never gives you what is important. And that's just, I don't know. It was sad because the fourth film probably did really good. And so they felt like, yeah, we can make jokes. It'll be fun. Yeah. You know?
Yep. No, I think
you open up a can of worms. You shouldn't have.
When you're going to explain away Psylocke or Cybox, whatever it is, thing, you do it with Spock staring into space quietly a couple of different times. And that somehow is supposed to be enough. That's not enough.
And actually, you know, Spock's character is the one that gets the worst treatment in this film, right? I mean, when McCoy has to go back and face his worst decision and it sort of gives him something to reflect on, it's a pretty awful scenario. And then he turns to Spock and says, now let's face your fear. And he goes back and to his childbirth, and his dad doesn't really care about him. And you're like, you just want to hear Spock go, yeah, but I knew that all along. What's the problem?
You know, exactly.
Logical.
And were they all seeing it? That's a question I have. Were they all seeing the bed with the dad in it and the vision of the...
No, yes. I'm assuming... Yeah. Really? I assume not.
I assume that they were because Kirk kept asking about it. Kirk would be like, oh, what's this about?
I just assumed that Kirk knew what his worst thing was. See, and he was responding off.
And I think that means that nobody knew... I don't think they knew what they were trying to say there. Like, I felt like that was really disjointed.
I think
really
there were a lot of things like that.
But don't you think that stuff was Kirk, okay? Like, that was kind of compelling, I thought, some of it.
Yeah. And apparently Kirk, all he's got to do is just go, no thanks, no brainwashing for me. All right.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just stay here. Go on ahead.
I like his skeptical nature, though. There's something about that that's very Kirkish. Yeah. But, again, just not...
Why do you need a spaceship?
Why does God need a spaceship? He just keeps saying it, and it's a really good question. And you're like, okay, that's the script I want.
The
whole film to have. There, not just that little
there
part.
Were moments like that really shone, and you were like, okay, this is good. This is good. Maintain it. Oh poo, you didn't maintain it.
Oh poo.
Okay, another one of these that I noticed in the film was the Goodnight John Boy routine at the camp.
Everybody
has that in movies, and I think it's all spawned from what was that show called?
The Waltons.
Yeah, I forget where the show came from. I hate that. I hate that. When people do that, I just go, okay, we get it. Good night, John Boy. Everyone says good night. They're all repeating it. Someone said it twice. Who was that? Bah, bah, bah. And now it's Star Trek people. Now you're taking my heroes of space and having them do a John Boy routine. Yeah. Shame on you, Star Trek, for doing that.
And who would think that joke would ever get old?
Me.
Yeah, apparently it's lasted into the 23rd century.
Was it really a joke, though? Wasn't it meant to be sort of whimsical, you know?
Oh, of course, but terrible.
Whimsical, but terrible.
If by whimsical you mean terrible, we agree on that.
All right.
We're on the same page.
One last trope. I notice, unless you guys have any more, Kirk tricking people into doing stuff by using coded messages. Yeah. This is better done in Khan. Wrath of Khan was way better, where he's kind of like, we're getting right on that. You must hurry, whatever. And he does the same thing over here, where he's like using words to make, you know, Scotty go, he cannot be serious or whatever.
There's no such thing as two.
And I hate that. That gets old. Yeah. It wasn't just, maybe it's just it just wasn't done well here.
Yeah, it wasn't. And it's especially bad when you're looking around the cockpit around you like, hell, I don't know. I'm going to make up something here. Spade cat, we're coming in.
Right. What he was doing. The chicken has flown the coop sort of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Worst scripting in the film. Hello, Captain Kirk. This is Starfleet calling.
Yeah, this Starfleet.
Seriously, that's an actual line from the movie. This is Starfleet calling. Oh, go ahead, Starfleet. What?
Well, you know, star
in a perfect English accent. No, you know, yeah. No Klingon accent whatsoever.
Captain, right.
I hated those other Klingons too. Those were the most irritating.
You didn't like the lady? Ugh, bach, luch, buch.
No,
she was gross.
That was terrible.
She
was gross.
Yeah, she was.
Spice Williams, by the way, and she's not even a Spice Girl.
Oh,
weird.
Have you seen the picture of her lately?
She was
I did.
Very mescalated.
She should see
she's
her
right
now.
There on the right there on the IMDb page as Vixis. Spice Williams. She's a bodybuilder who's normally known as a stunt driver or stunt person.
Wow. Well, she had her big me. She had That's a big role know. In this.
And if you look at her picture, you can see why she's not going to be a romantic leading lady.
No.
Yeah. I'm looking at her now. Oh my gosh, she looks like a Klingon without the Klingon
exactly.
stuff on. Like she walked in and said, "Just go ahead.
You're hired." Yeah.
You're hired.
Yeah, That's just roll film. Everyone wears a dickie in this movie.
And handkerchiefs, the little or the neckerchiefs or whatever they are. Yeah. Really, McCoy? Really? We're going with this? All right.
Did y'all notice that the Moses dude, you know, the main, you know, protagonist or anti-protagonist or whatever the hell he is, the Cybok.
Cybok?
Yeah. Did you notice he got a haircut to go to heaven? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He got a full-on haircut, not just pulled back or ponytail. Yeah. Like a full-on nice, neat little hair, you know, trip to the freaking haircut place on the ship or whatever.
Right. On the Enterprise. He
that
stopped by the
weird.
Enterprise barber.
Really weird.
Remember that episode of The Next Generation where there's
Let me
barber?
Take your pain. Now give me a haircut.
I don't want to give you a haircut. Well, let me take your pain first. Oh, let me give you a haircut. How can I pay you back? How about a haircut? Anyway.
And what's the deal? So has this barrier that they had to breach to fly through that apparently they couldn't go over or under or
through
any other direction?
It's a spherical barrier.
Most disappointing thing.
Well, that's
ever.
What I would have expected, but it certainly didn't look spherical. It looked like a ring that they flew through.
Now, I may show my lack of knowledge in Star Trek, but I don't recall this ever being brought up before.
I think they've mentioned it before. Yeah, it's in the lore, but I don't know why they was acting like. But I'm like thinking, this is the thing that bothered me about this movie is it's supposed to be at the center of the universe. I'm right. Okay, so they went from Earth to the center of the universe. And usually, doesn't that take a real long time? I mean, haven't we seen that? You know, haven't we already seen that? You know, it's really big, and I don't know. And it's like they just
that was throwaway. See, that's my problem. Star Trek is at its best when it not obeys, but when it shows respect to natural science and tech.
I don't think that Shatner had watched the first two seasons of The Next Generation.
Probably not.
Because what was happening on The Next Generation is what you're talking about, which is sort of this great fixing of Star Trek, bringing it into, you know, the current time, the way people were thinking about their entertainment.
And maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Yeah, maybe I'm skipping it. Maybe I'm thinking like he was thinking.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, but that's a good point. All of the really thick, like, here's how a teleporter works, and it actually is based on these principles. If we could harness this kind of thing, we could do it or whatever. And that all started with, Next Gen, and not so much with the old series. So he probably wasn't even. I just think you need to hire because I think previous films did a better job of it.
Yeah,
you know, I even
plus
think
nobody had tried either before. I was like, are you serious? No one's ever. Went there before? It's just,
I'm just saying, like, they went there and they basically discovered Q's grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And
basically.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Q's
grandpa,
I would
who
like
really
Q
needs
better
a ship.
If that was the story.
Well, at least Q, but see, at least Q could get the hell off the planet. This guy just needed a starship. I'm a giant blue faced god man and I need a ship. Well, how are you going to fit
have
in
a
the
starship?
Ship? Like, you're a giant floating face that can shoot huge laser beams. You have no other way out of here.
How much more interesting would the film have been if there was some mysterious reason that we all slowly discovered that this creature had tricked the bad guy into thinking that he was God? And
wasn't that kind of what there. Well, wasn't that what they kind of said, though? Isn't that what, because he was kind of open?
Kind of. But then it was so compressed. It was so compressed and so like not explored or just, I don't know, not enough time or something. But Randy's right. The core of it is a really brilliant idea.
Right. And then instead, what we get are these three different people from three different planets all saying the name for Eden in different languages, one after the other, slowly in awe. And it wasn't even a little bit awesome.
No.
Right.
You know? It wasn't.
Jonathan and Ibbett really hated this movie because...
I did. Yeah, because I'm not talking as much.
So, Ibbett, tell us how you felt about this movie.
I hate this. It felt like... I hate movies where you're just expected to believe stuff just because it's there, right? You know, it's, and it goes back to the science thing. It goes back to the characterization. I could totally picture... Shatner directing this and people coming up to him saying, well, how does he get to this? Or what brings him to this point? Don't worry about that. It's a character movie. It's a character movie.
Yeah.
People weren't tuning in to watch that. They were tuning in to watch Spock, Kirk, and McCoy. No, don't worry about that. And I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it because you watch this thing and it's, and there's so many of those things that any other director, any other writer would say, well, we kind of have to explain why, who is this person on this planet? Kind of the biggest MacGuffin of the whole film is this guy on the planet. It's really a non-character compared to Cybok and the whole thing. And
none of the director or the actor characters from Star Trek turned directors have a perfect record. I mean, Nimoy really knocked it out of the park with 4, but 3 was arguably pretty crummy.
By far the best is Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes nailed it. And like, what were his two? He did First Contact and...
The one after that
that no one remembers.
The Borg
Insurrection.
Right?
Insurrection, right. Which was a pretty good 2-hour TV version of Star Trek.
I like Insurrection. That's one of my favorites.
And it wasn't the one with the Borg Queen before Insurrection?
Yeah, that was right before. That was First Contact.
I'm getting Generations and First Contact.
Yeah. So they did I feel like Frakes was, of all these guys, probably the best.
And has continued to direct a lot of TV. Like he did several like dozen episodes of The Next Generation. He directed, you know, that Roswell series. He directs other shows.
Oh yeah.
So the guy, you know, the guy clearly wanted to direct, knew what he was doing, pulled off. These other things I consider stunt directing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Nimoy less so, because he could do other stuff too. Oh, someone's got a text.
Wow.
Nimoy less so because he not that Three Men and a Baby is anything to write home about anymore. But It was a believable, decent kind of 80s, you know.
Well, and he's also a smart guy. I mean, I love Will Shatner, and I watch Shit My Dad Says every week, but he's an idiot, you know? Yeah. The actor, he's not a smart guy.
I wish they wouldn't call that Bleep My Dad Says. I wish it was on cable. That's what I wish.
Yeah.
I just wish we would all agree that this word is now okay.
Oh, this word's
well,
okay.
There we go. Something, I'm looking at my niece's Nook that she got for Christmas from Barnes and Nobles, and the freaking thing they're advertising on the front of it is that thing, and I'm like, she's like too young to see that kind of crap.
What?
How do you spell that?
She's old to read,
but it spells it using the comic book version of shit, which is, you know, ampersand dollar sign,
which is not going to make the kid ask at all. Excuse me, what's that say, Daddy?
I think we'd just put a Gratifter on the end and it'll take care of it. It's not a problem.
Shit, Gratifter, my dad says.
Like, I'm the one to talk. I'm here to open my thing with a pre-titted woman. So anyway.
What are you talking about?
Were the rest of
casting
you also,
stones.
Were the rest of you also all thinking about Star Trek 11 throughout this and thinking about how J.J. Abrams would have completely retooled and fixed this whole thing?
I think this would have been great in his hands, or, well, really anyone's hands, but... But yeah, a modern take on, like, they're never going to do it. But these new actors and this new forward moving series of films that are coming, I wouldn't mind revisiting this idea. I kind of wish it didn't exist in the first place, so they could just do this idea right the first time. Because it's a good one. It's really good. And Kirk being skeptical and standing there in the face of this giant blue faced, deep voiced, awesome looking god figure who just made like giant spines of stone come up and create a little house for everybody to stand in. I mean, he still has the Kirkism to go, wait a minute, you guys. Whoa. You know, I love that. That is James T. Kirk. So take Shatner out of the picture, put this in the hands of good writers and good directors, and you've got a hell of an idea. I don't want to pound that in the ground too much, but I really like that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
I think we're in agreement with this. Oh, it's weird.
Clips.
There's silence after you agree.
That's okay. There's clips now. Let the silence end. We have clips.
Before we play our clips, quick bust in from Scott here to talk about Audible.com. Audible.com providing the best in audiobook entertainment for the last, as far as I can remember. Love Audible. Love audiobooks. It's my preferred way to consume books. And it probably is yours as well. Currently interested in a book I haven't read yet, but it caught my eye, called The Heroes of Olympus. Heroes of Olympus. Book one, The Lost Hero, by Rick Riordan, however you say his name. Narrated by Joshua Swanson, heir to the Swanson chicken fortune. No, probably not. Has a really high rating on Audible and looks interesting to me. It's in the fantasy and science fiction section. You can get it for free, or any book. If there's some book you're thinking about getting, they're all free. That first book free. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download from Audible today.
And the clips are as follows. Here's this line at the early part of the movie where the Jesus guy tells him to feel your pain or share your pain. He's talking to that extra from Mad Max about sharing his pain. So here it is.
Your pain runs deep.
What do you know of my pain?
Let us explore it together. Each man hides a secret pain. It must be exposed and reckoned with. It must be dragged from the darkness and forced into the light. Share your pain. Share your pain with me. And gain strength from the sharing.
My pain is that Lucy Ball was my mom.
You'd think that guy would have been the easiest one to brainwash. I mean, look at him.
Sorry. Randy's making fun of it. I thought that was brilliant acting. That was brilliant acting for
me. I love that scene. I'm making fun of it just because that sound is in the background throughout. And I still think it's good. I'm just making fun of it. I mean, I love that scene. I love the shots. I felt like a whole other film crew did this setup. Yeah. And then even the very beginning bits in Yosemite, and then it all went to hell.
Or as I said as a child, and this won't surprise any of you, I pronounced it Yosemite.
Yosemite.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I got lots of grief from my uncle and my mom for calling it Yosemite on a road trip.
That's no good. All right. You're on a quest, says the same dude.
How can I repay you for this miracle?
Join my quest.
What is it you seek?
What do you seek? What all men have sought since time began.
Ultimate knowledge. To find it, you'll need a starship.
A starship?
What the hell? Oh, can I ask you guys a question?
Sounds exactly like Vincent Price.
Yeah, oh, yeah, a little bit. Like yeah, a little bit.
Like you're gonna ask a question?
So I was gonna ask you a question. So was this the first Star Trek film to use the Next Generation Jerry Goldsmith theme? Because it kind of farted me up at first. I was like watching it and all of a sudden, bang, dun, 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 dun. I'm like, whoa, what generation am I watching?
Yeah. Well, they were using the set. Why not? They probably had it on a CD or something.
That was really weird. I mean, the movie's out during Next Gen time, but to use their theme, or did Next Gen take the theme from the movies? I don't know.
Yeah, this is the first time I remember seeing it in movie, in any movie. Yeah. But isn't it what was the theme for the, because I know it wasn't the regular Star Trek theme. What was the theme they used for the first Star Trek movie that they kind of carried through?
The so-called new theme.
That one? Or you mean that?
No, that was from the TV show. Both of those were primarily from the TV show, but there was a new one that they introduced.
Right, the new theme.
I'm enjoying Scott trying to guess. give us some more. Pseudo-trumpet.
Well, hold on. There's this. Is that what you're talking about?
No. That's no, the Randy knows. Intro.
Try again.
Is it this? Hold on. Okay, that's Next Gen.
That's Next Gen, but for some reason I was connecting that one to the first Star Trek movie too, and I thought that Next Generation adopted that one.
Oh,
but is that
maybe.
Not right, Randy? You know what I'm asking here. Is that
I don't know. I now want to sit down and listen to them all. I have all the soundtracks here, but I don't want to put you off.
All right, how about this?
You always right.
No. Not, you're not talking about that.
No.
Okay, so
that is
again is original that, series.
What's that called? That's got a name too. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's Voyager. Sorry. Don't bring my Voyager
tongue,
in there.
It doesn't matter. What are you trying to do? Get us killed?
Just don't play that dumb one with the lyrics from Enterprise.
Oh, I right? think I have that.
Oh, I hate that one too.
I have a cover of it.
Hold on, I want to find it.
To this day, it's like 10 years on, more than 10 years on, and I'm so unhappy with stupid Enterprise song.
How about this? Take my love. All right, never mind.
Yeah. Greatest television show ever made, right there.
I kind of agree. All right, next call, or next thing, not call. Rocket Spock, because that's where Rocket Spock shows up.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time.
That'd be great if they did that, but they didn't. Instead, it was ski boots. Anyway, here it is.
Greetings, Captain.
Spock! What are you doing in this neck of the woods?
I have been monitoring your progress.
I'm flattered. 1,200 points of interest in Yosemite, and you pick me.
I regret to inform you that the record for free climbing El Capitan is in no danger of being broken.
I'm not trying to break any records. I'm doing this because I enjoy it. Not to mention the most important reason for climbing a mountain.
And that is?
Because it's there.
Captain, I do not think you realize the gravity of your situation.
Gravity? He said gravity. I get it.
Yeah, he can say El Capitan correctly, but he doesn't know how to say marshmallow. Give me a break.
Yeah, that was one messed up looking marshmallow, by the way. Yeah, like somebody had it in their back pocket all week.
It was long and weird.
I'm assuming that that was some type of portable matter creator that they have in the ships and stuff. Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
As long as it comes out tube shape, you're all right.
Yeah.
Tiny little replicator, but it can only make tiny bits of food.
It kind of grossed me out. This thing's like
one bite at a time.
It's like kind of slowly pooping out a marshmallow.
Yeah.
It's like you guys have weird equipment. 23rd century, the beginning of that was weird. Sweary Dr. McCoy is my favorite Dr. McCoy, and I captured him saying this.
Why don't you go pester Dr. McCoy for a while?
I believe that Dr. McCoy is not in the best of moods.
God damn irresponsible. Playing games with life.
Yeah, son of a bee.
Playing games with life. I actually
Where's
like
my
that.
Nurse? My legs are too skinny. He has the skinniest legs in Hollywood. Excuse me.
Where's my jean jacket with the sheepskin lining?
I mean, I love
you
McCoy.
Know what? You know what? That campfire scene, the three of them sitting around, awesome costumes. Like, yeah. I want to dress like that and go camping.
I guess. Yeah. They look like, yeah. You know what my problem with Spock is in these later movies is that his voice changed. And it got old and high.
Yeah.
It was no longer the deep captain, I believe. That was when he was at his best. And I know this is just age. This is what happens. People's, you know, who knows what the hell I'm going to sound like. I can't wait to find out. But my point is that when it changed, the characterization changed. And it's even hard for me to take him in the new movie where he's old. Yeah. And he's taught. It's just too much, you know. Well, Captain, I don't know if this is, you know, I don't know. He sounds like he did in Wrath of Khan when he was trapped in the
chamber.
Yeah. The one. That whole thing.
The one.
Well, that's his normal speaking voice now. Like he's right. Like he's had a what's that? Ectomy when you get a tube put in your throat.
Tracheotomy.
Tracheotomy. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Take a voice away from me, Yeti.
speaking like Ned in South Park.
All right.
I actually liked him as older Spock because his voice has gotten gentler, so I'd assume that with his age. But yeah, I'm with you. He didn't seem as serious in this movie as there was never. I don't even think he even said illogical one time in this movie. And that really pisses me off. Or fascinating.
He did say fascinating once. He said it once.
Did he say fascinating?
Yeah. When they got through the Great Barrier.
Correct.
Oh, that, I couldn't hear it because I was rolling my eyes too hard.
It was right before Shop Lock. Eden. Oh, is it my turn? Eden.
Eden. Nussmeier said that.
Oh. There's so many things like that really frustrated me in this movie. Like once they all kind of came to an agreement, okay, we're all in this together. You know, I'm just expecting the real Kirk to stand up and just shoot the bad guy. You know.
Yep. Like, in the face.
What do you mean? I'm not going to go through with what you want. You're an intergalactic criminal. Bang. Yep. And that's, and, you know, I guess I just want everybody to be Malcolm Reynolds, basically.
Don't we all?
Yeah. You took over my ship. Bam. You're done.
Out.
That's it. We're turning on the self-destruct and only one person knows the code. All right. Maybe three.
All right. Burping Klingon moment. Great times.
Gentlemen, I'm Caitlin Dar.
Oh, yeah. Our new Romulan representative. Welcome to Paradise City, my dear, capital of the so-called Planet of Galactic Peace. I'm St. John Talbot, the Federation representative here on Nimbus 3. My charming companion here is the Klingon consul, Kord.
I expect that's Klingon for hello.
Yes. I suspect it is. Who wrote this dialogue?
I don't know, but I loved it. That was actually one of my favorite scenes. I love when he says that because it's
that
so...
That woman, though. Ugh, she is shitty McShit-shit. She's the worst. She's the
it's
worst.
It's kind of sad when yeah, your only Tia job Carrera is to play hot.
Was the Asian lady of choice in the 80s not available for this film? Nice.
That's too funny.
Yeah. How many of you guys were singing Guns N' Roses, you know, sometimes during the
are you gonna blow one of my clips? That's what you're gonna do right there. That's all right.
No.
That's all right. We'll give it away now. They're going to Paradise City. Mm. In fact, you might say someone is taking them down there. To Paradise City. But before we get to that, the worst alarm sound in the history of celluloid. Here it is. Dude, that ain't no Paradise City.
No.
That is the worst place to live.
Their way of trying to convince you that the whole Enterprise is broken.
Yeah.
What's going on with the ship? Oh, it's broke. Whole ship's broke.
All the way down to the iPods that charge up to the ship. Yeah. What the crap was that?
The iPods. What do you mean?
The little iPads. A little iPad looking thing he had. Clip book. I'm like, why would that be broke? Why would that be broke?
Even the transporters or what were they called? Tricorders.
Whole ship's broke.
Yeah. is it tricorders? Yeah, tricorder.
Tricorder.
It wasn't a tricorder thing they were doing though. It was like.
Well, yeah, but same
like
thing.
He was supposed to be signing some papers or something.
For some reason, in my head, I have tricorders in my head as something you had to take to school in junior high. But I think I'm thinking of combining
the compass. Or
I'm combining recorders like the flute looking thing.
Oh, yeah, flutes. Yeah.
And the other thing, it was around
protractor.
Protractor. That's it.
Ooh,
right. Brian Ibbitt is a wordsmith. Yeah.
Wow, I was about to have one of these. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, ship's broke, but hey, I can get you to the center of the universe in about an hour.
Yeah, no doubt. All
right.
You know what my problem is right now?
What's that?
I still want to like this movie, and I almost wish there was an edited down like YouTube 10-minute version of just the good stuff. Because I would watch that. If I was having a Star Trek watching marathon, I would make sure that I made time to put that in its place. But I wouldn't put anybody through this whole film.
Yeah.
It was the little things that killed this movie.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Tosh.0. Just give me the rundown of this film.
That's right. He could Daniel Tosh could do about a 10-minute, 12-minute rundown of this movie.
So
be
Kirk's
really
climbing
good.
This mountain.
And then there's three people in the centipede, not one.
No, wait. I got that out of order. Not that it matters. It doesn't matter.
All right. Bad acting lady. Just a moment from her.
I don't know who you are or what you want, but I can tell you this. Our governments will stop at nothing to ensure our safety.
That's exactly what I'm counting on.
Okay. She really, honestly, may be the worst actress in the history of film.
Pretty bad. Honestly, I don't know who you are or what the script said because I didn't read it.
That was Troll 2 bad. I think
her unfortunate role is to be hot, and like that's the only purpose for her character, you know. And I always say, if you're going to do that, take it all the way. All three of those ambassadors should have been hot chicks.
That's right. One green one, one blue one.
One, yeah,
sure.
And she's been featured in exactly 8 films.
Oh, good career. Good job on that. Scotty complains a lot.
USS Enterprise, shakedown cruise report. I think this new ship was put together by monkeys. Oh, she's got a fine engine, but half the doors won't open. And guess whose job it is to make it right?
The Starfleet, the Starfleet construction workers?
Got it.
Let's see what he's got, said the captain. And then we found out, didn't we?
I know you'll whip her into shape, Scotty. You always do.
Yeah, that's right. Come over here and whip me into shape, big boy.
Yeah. Here, give me a big silver bag of pretzels.
Captain, I'm getting a signal from my loins. Anyway, he just moaned and bitched the whole movie. Like, just, bah, everything's busted, bah.
That was his whole role in this movie.
That was it. Right. I feel really bad for him.
He was one of the lesser ones. You know, he wasn't one of the big three. So
I really feel bad for him.
He was always walking around one of those wrenches that he has.
He's kind of like Geordi in Generations. He had nothing to do in that movie.
Yeah, but at least Geordi didn't get treated like comedy relief, you know, with an alcoholic. That was the thing with, you know, with a lot of the secondary characters in some of the later movies. They were just there for comedy relief. Chekhov and another good example, although he was hardly in this at all, except for kind of being the fake captain.
Yeah, he showed up at camp. Yeah, showed up at camp for a minute, and then he fake captained it, and that was it.
His job was to mispronounce the letter V, and we all giggle a tiny bit.
I think they missed the boat when this happens, because I do realize that the core of the show are those three characters. That's true to some degree, but I think you diminish the potential of your film in a Star Trek film when you don't let these secondary players have a role, because they're so integral to the rest of the series. It doesn't work without them.
And I wonder if Shatner's mind, though, he was thinking, we need to feed our older fans who were fans from back in the day, because they're coming out with this whole new generation thing that's going to be for all these new people. Maybe we need to feed some of our old fans.
But you do that the way J.J. Abrams did, which is show that you genuinely love every character, even if they're small.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really how you feel coming away from that film, that he really loves those characters.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that if there's anything to take away from the newest Star Trek is that everybody got a shake, and it wasn't just like, you know, lip service. They actually had an important role to play. I think Sulu is a complete badass in the new movie.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it's not just because it's the first movie and they've got to introduce all those characters again. I hope it continues through all the future movies, all the future J.J. Abrams.
What is that guy good at? Ensemble.
He is great.
Ensemble writing. That's what he does best. What is Lost? Lost is a cacophony of characters that you care about all of them and they all have a role to play. That's not easy to do. As long as you have him or someone like him doing this stuff, awesome. Like Robert Altman before his death, he could do things with 50 people that you would many people could hope to do with one, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you need for a Star Trek movie. And Shatner's not the guy. All he's thinking of is, we mountain climbing and camping. That's a hell of a way to bookend this stupid movie. That's what that's what's on his mind. Ah, just think how clever this is. No, dude. The God bit is the clever bit. Mm-hmm. Not you climbing El Capitan. Oh, I get it. You're a captain. Oh, I see what you did.
They had such a good bad guy who ultimately is so one-dimensional. It's just, I want to like it so bad. Why don't I get to like this movie?
Well, maybe you'll like this quote. Okay. About Bones telling a camp joke story with Spock. Check it out.
Whiskey. Tennessee whiskey, Spock. You care for a little snort?
Bourbon and beans, an explosive combination. Think Spock can handle it?
Are you kidding? With that Vulcan metabolism, he could eat a bowl of termites and it wouldn't bother him.
Could have been such a good joke.
Just wanted Nimoy to say, screw you both.
Yeah,
I'm taking my boots. I'm taking my boots and going back to the show.
Yeah.
Just him taking off this to cut back and his feet leaving.
Oh my gosh, quit writing a better movie, you two.
I'm going to pee on your fire first and then I'm going back to the ship.
We could actually re-edit that. There's some scenes of him kind of flying off screen, so we could do that.
Totally could do it. Yeah. Paradise City. We talked about it before. Now we get to witness it.
Approaching Nimbus 3.
Hailing frequency open.
Standard orbit, Mr. Seward.
Captain, we're receiving transmission from Paradise City. They're demanding to know our intentions.
Respond with static. Let them think we're having difficulty, which wouldn't be far from the truth.
Paradise City, can you boost your power? We're barely receiving transmission.
Yeah! All right, doesn't work as well.
I am still confused about that part.
Why?
He said to send them back static, but then she immediately responds and says she can't hear them. Am I confused about that?
Maybe on the other end she modulated her voice to sound all gritty or something.
Maybe so. Well, I would expect her to go.
That would have been awesome. That would have been great. Look, if you're going to Vulcan nerve pinch a horse, go ahead and screw around with the thing. Seriously. Almost a jump a shark moment.
Yeah.
But so great that will never be jumping the shark.
And they pretend like it didn't happen too. It's just like, we're not even going to linger on this scene. We're just going to move to the next thing.
I have some Star Trek friends who basically say this movie is not in the canon for them. Like, there's no connect. They see this as an offshoot, an alternate universe, a thing that happened in someone's dream. They don't connect it to anything else. And really, Star Trek decided not to do that. Like, there's no reference to this in Undiscovered Country.
No.
It's moving on with your lives.
But there's, other than Khan and the search for Spock, which were obviously connected for obvious reasons, they don't really mention previous movies in other ones, do they?
Well, they didn't mention whales or any of that crap in this one. There was a mention of McCoy said something like, I like Spock better when he was dead.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's, that goes all the way back to Khan, the good movie. So, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know.
It makes it easy to excise the tumor. If
that's right.
there are no threats connecting it to the other movie.
All right, I have a 3-second clip of something Spock says that I just can't believe they snuck this joke in here and that they even let it happen. But to give you some backstory, they're riding into town on these horses in Paradise City, and Kirk says something to Spock, and Spock responds with this:
"Spock, hold your horse, Captain. I'm scanning."
Okay, hold your horse, Captain.
I thought that was pretty funny myself. Yeah, because he wouldn't normally say that. I mean, that's not a Vulcan thing to say.
It's terrible. That's a terrible thing to ask Spock, this venerable character with so much history, to say, hold your horse, Captain. Because he's on a horse, get it?
Yeah,
gosh.
Hold your Klingon horse for just one Klingon minute. One Vulcan minute.
Okay, Sweary Kirk. It's time for Sweary Kirk. I love this rambling swear off that Kirk had. 16 seconds, check it out.
"Damn it, Spock. God damn it.
Captain, what I have done...
What you have done is betray every man on the ship.
Worse, I've betrayed you. I did not expect you to forgive me.
Forgive you? I'll knock you on your goddamn ass.
If you think it would help.
You want me to hold him, Jim?
You stay out of this.
All right, that was pretty funny.
It was a good scene, though.
But isn't it always weird when... I remember the first Star Trek the Motion Picture, that other horrible one.
Yeah.
When McCoy first comes on the scene and he full-on, just throws out some cuss word. And you never hear this on the show. So to hear it in the movie, I just remember thinking as a kid, yeah, now we're mature. We're in the movie theater now. Yeah. And I used to think that was so cool.
I don't judge Star Trek the Motion Picture in the same way a lot of people do.
Do you not hate it?
It's not that I don't hate it. I'm like, I find it hard to criticize when it was the first true film of the franchise. I mean, because they probably went and looked and said, we don't want to just bring a long episode to the screen. We want to make something epic. And they really tried to make something epic. It doesn't
fail hard. It just has to be viewed through a different lens.
Yeah,
that first film.
I wouldn't mind revisiting it.
If you watch all of them and then go back and watch the first one, you're not going to like it.
But, I'm pretty sure this one's on the first one's on streaming. I may have to check. We may not cover it here. We probably 2 Star Trek films is probably enough for the next 500 episodes. But still, it might be something to revisit and see what I think now, because I don't know. I just remember
hearing a lot through that movie. There's like a sound music clip that they use constantly during that film.
I thought the bald chick was super hot. I thought
she was pretty sexy.
Yeah.
V'ger chick, whatever. She went to find V'ger.
With her little sexy crystal in her neck.
And didn't Spock have a pain moment?
Collar.
This is making me want to watch Star Trek the first one. I'm going to be disappointed.
And then they have those awful jumpsuits for uniforms. And
it's really, if you are a completist and you want to watch the Star Trek films, it's really not a bad idea to watch them in order, because you have not as good, then it gets better, then it gets weird, then it gets really good, then it sucks, then it gets better. You know what I mean? Like the badness is scattered out, so you kind of...
Is this weird or bad?
It gets better. Overall, there's an overall increase in aggregate quality as you go,
Fair enough. All right, moving on. Man, we still have 3 more of these. So much to tell you, Scotty. Oh, yeah, this Creepy, sexy moment between Uhura and Scotty.
Easy, Scotty. Easy. You're back with us.
Uhura, I had the strangest dream. I dreamt that a madman had taken over the Enterprise.
Scotty, dear, he's not a madman.
He's not?
No. Cyborg has simply put us in touch with feelings that we've always been afraid to express.
I have to get back to the transporter.
No. Scotty. There's so much I want to tell you.
Yeah, creepy.
What in the world did Cyborg make her see?
I don't know, man. She shared her pain, right?
What the heck?
Share your
this
pain,
is during the time that she really was trying to be the sexy woman.
Yeah, but it's over, dude. Look. I'm not a big age hater. Like I'll watch someone who played the queen. Can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Helen Mirren. Gorgeous.
Is an incredibly, it's not because she's so hot now in her 70s. You don't say that about her. What you say about her is, man, she carries herself well. And my gosh, she's totally, something about her is just like, it's in her essence, right?
Yeah.
Michelle Nichols is over that time. Or okay, let me say it this way. I don't think she's over that time. She's an attractive older woman with lots of success behind her and all of that. Don't make her be teenage vamp lady on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Leave that to the chick from Avatar to do it one day.
Yeah. You know, Julianne Moore is 50 and she did a bunch of nudity, you know, and kind of sexy scenes in a film this past year. And I thought, you know, that's all right. And it's not that I'm getting older. It's that they found a way to do it so that it's all right. This film,
it's called
this,
airbrushing.
This Nichelle Nichols bit was just
scary.
Squicky. Yeah.
It was weird. Like your crazy aunt is saying
I
some
know.
Crazy
the bad thing is, at first, you was like, you see her across the. My quality was pretty bad. You guys may have been seeing better, but I was like, who is that supposed to be? It's like I was afraid. To be like, yeah, look at them legs, baby, because I was afraid it was Uhura. And sure enough, it was like,
maybe. Don't you hate it when movies do that to you? They show you something sexy and don't give you, you know, like don't give you an idea of what you're seeing because you want the whole package before you pass judgment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh!
Now, at the end of this film, we finally get an earful of what God sounds like when he's kind of worked up. It reminded me a little. It's only 3 seconds long, but it reminded me a little bit of that scene in Dirty Harry that we like so much, with the guy screaming.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the sound of God when he's chasing you, and it's dark. What the crap?
I know.
What is up with that?
That's my new ringtone.
Why does God need a howl? God doesn't need a howl.
I need that clip though.
It's funny you just said howl right when I was thinking. It reminds me of the skipper when he got hit in the gut with a coconut.
That's true.
Yeah. Don't.
I can see that.
Little buddy.
Anyway. Somebody needs to edit that clip together with the one with the from Dirty Harry, like it's the what's up commercials where they go.
That guy who does all our little things for the end of the show, he should do that. I forgot your name, but do it.
It's kind of becoming an internal, like, running joke for us. If there is a bad scream or wail in a movie, Scott will capture it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's hear it one more time for fun. It's like Santa Claus getting pushed.
But you know what?
I'm trying to be scared.
You know what? Best little bit in the movie is when Cyborg realizes that he's got to be the one to sacrifice himself and turns to God and says, whatever he says, you know, I sense you have pain.
Yeah.
Fear, right.
Show me your pain. Let me step into
Let me help you face it. And God's like, what? What are you doing? Step right in.
Do you prefer this? And he's obviously a very trying to please people, God, because he keeps going, does this form please you? How about this one? How about if I run after you and go, ooh.
Laser beams, give me your spaceship. All right. Finally, this threw me off. Okay, finding out that ILM had nothing to do with this made this scene even worse. Because at the end, Klingon ship decloaks and helps blow up big blue head man. Right?
Yeah.
They use total Star Wars sound effects and a bunch of them wadded up together. Don't believe me? 5 seconds to prove it. Okay.
That totally was not in the. Was
that was in the movie. I didn't, I swear to you, I can't. Here, just check it out one more time. It's at the end when that blue head's getting blown up. That is the weirdest thing.
You totally hear a TIE fighter screaming by at the end of that. Totally.
Give us one more time. There is a TIE fighter at the end there.
Yeah, here. Yeah, you hear it going.
Golly, man.
Yeah.
They robbed him.
Totally stole it. They totally stole it. I can't believe they got away with it. Or maybe they don't. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe because it was a mix.
George Lucas said, dude, your movie sucks. You can use whatever you want.
Whatever.
ILM's not going to help us. We're going to help ourselves to some of their sound effects.
So they said, George or Mr. Lucas, if we promise to put everyone in a turtleneck dickie, can we use your sound effects? Why, yes. Yes, you may.
I approve of dickies.
Would you like to borrow my jean?
You do a pretty good one, too. Apparently, I can do a good one, but I never do it anymore because I think that's not true. Anyway, so there you go. Clips from the film. It's time for our awards. And this week's awards are brought to you by Heartburn. I'm having a little heartburn. I don't know why.
That's funny.
Ask Brit so by funny. Name.
I had some soup that my wife stole the recipe from Olive Garden for, and we ate it for lunch today, and I'm just...
What?
The Italian, the zuppa.
Yeah,
the,
that's the stuff.
Rustica.
Send me that.
I'll send it to you. It's really good.
Yeah,
send just it gave me too. Heartburn is all.
And we'll send it to all of our listeners, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just email.
Enjoy, everyone. Okay.
We hear you talking about Harper, and we're like, yeah, I want that recipe. Fork it over.
All right, Film Sack Awards this week. The Star Trek movie that mentions the least amount... The Star Trek movie that mentions the least amount of information about the last Star Trek movie.
Try one more time.
This one. got it out.
It should be called the Final Frontier Award, since you're right. Doing all the self-reference in
the
there.
The Overdub Award, the Eurelian chick or wherever she was from. She was way overdubbed. Yeah, yeah. The Special Effect Most Like Something Out of the Original Series Award goes to Floating Blue Godface. That looked like way...
Well, there's also a shot of the Enterprise flying away from the camera where it just looks like they just took a flash, you know, like a flash video and shrunk it down.
Yeah, just got nice and small. No perspective, no vanishing point. Just kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah, that was bad. The Star Trek Award goes to everyone, but especially the Moses dude because of his parents and that whole connection. That's a pretty crazy connection within a connection.
I wonder if we actually worked it out, who would be the most connected person in the film to the rest of all the Star Trek canon?
Probably Spock, because Shatner came in after that pilot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, true.
And Nimoy's in the latest one.
Yeah.
But then when you start thinking about the TV shows, you know, these other guys showed up there. You know, some of the smaller guys showed up in a lot of the episodes of TV shows.
That's interesting to think about. The person
Gene Roddenberry.
Oh yeah, he's probably the most connected. But he died in 90. I still don't think 92 is right. 91.
91. It's on the Wikipedia page. If you want to argue with it, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure he was there right before or right after Deep Space Nine.
Go put it in a Wikipedia correction.
All right. I'll figure it out.
Scott's going to put it in a second. That I'm pretty sure it was later when he died.
Yeah, that'll last about 5 seconds.
Was Majel Barrett credited in this one? She's the ultimate Star Trek connection.
She was not in this one, no.
All right.
No, but what's funny is the Blu-ray has her on the Blu-ray for this film has her on the label.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, like the first four movies have Spock, Kirk, you know.
Yeah.
But the fifth one has a picture of Majel Barrett.
Weird.
On the label.
Weird. Okay. I don't know what that means. That's really
weird. I don't either.
She wasn't in that.
I guess whoever was making the labels is like, isn't this one?
She should do the commentary track. I was not in this film. Right. Here's what I know. Shatner's an idiot. Okay, moving on. All right, next award. The person that looks most like Rue McClanahan award goes to William Shatner.
Yeah.
He had a weird lady face in this movie.
Yeah, and a weird almost semi-perm kind of thing he's always sporting.
Really creepy. Yeah. The best use of a pair of ski boots award, the rocket boots.
Which were apparently the only set they had since they had the number one on them.
Correct. Most uncomfortable hinted romantic relationship award, Scotty and Uhura.
Mm. Yeah, what could you even compare that to from like some other film?
Nothing.
I've been trying to think of what has ever been so kind of gross.
Well, maybe you could maybe compare it
You can compare it to Snape and Hermione. Were,
hey, we're not talking about your fan fiction, Brian.
Oh.
Brian's fanfic.
Oh, stop.
Nasty. Snapey. And then finally, the May As Well Never Pinch Anything This Cool Again award goes to Spock and the Horse.
Spock and the Horse.
So great.
I want a shirt that says that Spock and the Horse.
Maybe an alligator. Maybe like an alligator, maybe. That would maybe be better than this, but that's great. A freaking horse. Soundtrack grade I would give to this film an A. I really liked
it. Best thing in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very nice, I thought. And that's it for that. Thank you guys so much for the awards. Let's move on to... Oh, there's more music.
Hooray for Hollywood!
All right. Moving on. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this. All right. Moving on to a Twitter post from Randy Ibbett and Brian. Let's start with Randy. Randy, how would you sum this film up in 140 characters or less, sir?
Star Trek V. The worst of the Star Trek films for good reasons. Script sucks. Acting sucks. Direction sucks. I just can't stop myself from watching it yet again. Sigh!
All right. Brian Ibbett, what do you have?
Star Trek V. I can't believe you'd kill me over a field of empty plot holes.
Brilliant. Why not think of that?
That's a good one. And Brian Dunaway.
All right. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. More answers to life than an episode of Lost. Really? Also, there was no crocodiles in space. Not one. And they didn't even mention them either.
You've been getting a lot of crap from your last episode saying there were no crocodiles in South Carolina. And like all these South Carolinians, look at all these pictures, send us all this stuff. And
here's my backyard.
He's like, I have proof. Here's a Wikipedia page.
There are now. Look at this.
Isn't that weird?
So I've got to tell you guys a story.
Uh-oh.
We're skipping a film that we originally planned to do for FilmSack.
Mars Needs Women was the film.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, sort of the like, there's an animated movie out. Is it next year or recently? Mars Needs Moms.
Moms, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
still coming
out?
Still coming out.
Yeah, not yet.
But anyway, you know, so this old sort of classic because it's awful, you know, late '60s schlock sci-fi.
Yeah.
And we're skipping it for a number of reasons. The primary one being I couldn't find a way to watch it because I'm in Canada right now, and Canadian Netflix sucks.
Yeah, and you couldn't find it at like rentals or anything. It was like super scarce.
Right, and I mean I've got a chain of rental stores here that is amazing. They have everything, and so I walked in there and I said, I'm guessing you don't have it, but I'm hoping one of the many stores in the Lower Mainland has this movie. Can we look in your big database? And this girl looks, and she's like, no, it doesn't even list the movie, which is weird. You know, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
This movie.
Yeah.
And so she then calls this guy who's the movie expert at another store. He's like, I gotta put you on the phone with our old movie expert. And what she meant was he's an expert about old movies. He's not old.
Okay. that's the way I heard it too when you said it.
and she puts me on the phone with this guy and I said, so you know, have you ever heard of this film called Mars Needs Women? And he's like, oh God, it sucks. Mm. Like first thing he says, it sucks so bad.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, so do you know how I could get it? Why would you? What's wrong with you? Like, seriously, all of a sudden I'm defending myself.
Are you sure he wasn't also the old movie expert and the old movie expert? Because he sounds like a pissed off old man.
The old. And it was the strangest thing. I'm standing in a store and there's this guy trying to talk me out of ever wanting to watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie store.
It's too bad. It's actually on Netflix. It's an old black and white 50s movie about Mars coming here and stealing all our women so they can repopulate the planet. And I hope one day we get to see it. I have some great Fletcher stuff that we're going to use if we ever do. But yeah, Rogers, what's up, man? What is up?
This is a strange.
It is Rogers, right? I always get that and Tim Hortons mixed up because you guys with your stuff.
Yeah, Rogers is a communications company. Tim Hortons is a donut shop.
Oh, it's a donut. It is? Oh, yes. I thought it was like a sporting goods thing or something.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Famous for their coffee, aren't they?
Donuts, hot chocolate, sandwiches.
So I've never been there. So it's like their version of it's like a
Dunkin' Donuts. They're like Dunkin' Donuts, only better and cheap.
Can't get over him, but saying old people don't camp. I gotta get that on a shirt. Sorry, my brain is 20 places. But anyway, yeah, Tim Hortons, best coffee ever. I've heard that. And really good skis and camping
gear. Good sporting goods. Yeah,
good sporting goods.
Right, skis and soccer balls.
Well, as I often like to tell people, we kind of learned a little something while you were fake climbing a mountain. The best strippers are cat strippers with three boobs. Sorry, Brian, I didn't steal that from you. Bell bottoms are the future. I hate Star Trek bell bottoms. They're the worst.
But they are the future. Like, you can't get rid of bell bottoms. Yes. They're going to keep coming back.
Yes. I'm not going to lie. The only thing
that'll fit over rocket boots.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want one of those tracksuits that Kirk was wearing. That was
How disappointing is it to find out the hot siren chick on the hill is just you heard of? Kirk looks like a middle-aged woman. PVC trip pipes are a great way to slow people down in the ship's guts. Do you see those things with big yellow pipes? What the hell, dude?
Couldn't you just pave over them? I don't understand.
The Klingons step over stuff all the time, but come on.
I don't understand that. I've never understood that in the Klingon ships.
And finally,
who designs these things?
Finally, heaven looks like Arizona.
It's that old thing about if the transporters are so great, then why do they have elevators in the ships? The Klingons have figured it out and they just transport around their own ship and don't care if there's pipes everywhere.
That's a good point.
They don't even need hallways.
I do like a good bird of prey. That ship is cool.
That is one wicked cool ship.
I hope the new Trek films get into some good Klingon stuff. They have to, right? Like, they have to. Mm-hmm. You can't have Star Trek movies without some Klingon conflict of some sort. And they do it right. Like, I want Klingons to get away from being the drunk, loudmouth party animals that they are now.
Yeah.
And get some wicked, cool, mean, horrible, warlike stuff going on. That'd be cool.
I'm curious how they will handle the ass butt foreheads they have.
Ass butt?
If you were designing the next Star Trek film and it was going to have Klingons, would you want Fu Manchu Klingons or modern Klingons?
It's so hard to say.
I forgot about the Fu Manchu ones. Didn't they explain that, though, that Deep Space Tribble episode?
In Enterprise, they finally explained it.
Oh, was it Enterprise? I thought I know what it was. In the Tribble episode of Deep Space Nine, somebody said, Worf, what is with these guys? They don't look anything like you. And Worf goes,
and there's a joke.
Don't ask or something.
Yeah, there's a joke about the stupidity. But they are pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Look like a rogue heavy metal band.
Totally. They look like Kiss, like rejected Kiss mates. Yes.
Well, they could do something kind of in between. They could do like a ridged forehead out of tattoos or something, kind of like what they did with the current ones.
I'm just picturing Ace Frehley with the walking around with a Fu Manchu thing.
What if they did both? What if they some of them look like this and some of them look like that? And
that would be actually good.
That's awesome. Yeah. I freaking love that. All right, this is the part of the show where I'd normally read an email from a listener, but I forgot to get one, so we're not reading one. Plus, we're going long.
Thanks,
anyway.
Listeners.
We do have quotes from Scott Fletcher. We cannot miss these. He did a bunch this time. They're all worth it. I'll just start with the first one.
Please, Captain, not in front of the Klingons.
Good one. Like this one, too.
Stand by to execute emergency landing plan B.
Wow.
That was some of that code Kirk was doing. Half the doors aren't working.
Oh, she's got a fine engine, but half the doors won't open.
I like it. Should have done the accent. That would have been cool. I don't know what this one is.
Damn you, sir. You will try.
Wasn't that Spock? That's Spock.
Yes, it was, which kind of surprised me.
It's way too emotional for Spock. Come on.
Exactly.
Quit going out of character.
Ever since he died, though, he got a little more emotional in the movies, and I didn't care for that.
The worst emotional Spock is the pilot episode with Pike and all that.
Yeah.
Because
that was
he was like pissy, and I mean, I'm sure that's just the characterization at the time, and they said do this, and then they changed it later, but he was all, Captain, bah! I mean, just yelling at everything. Go back and watch that. It's really weird to see that.
I've got something we can talk about very briefly in place of an email.
Okay, well, give me two more of these.
Captain, I need Jim Kirk.
And lastly, this one's for Brian Dunaway, because I know you like this line.
I miss my old chair.
Nice.
I need that, too. Send me that. Send me that file.
I will. Randy, in place of an email, you have something.
On the FilmSack blog this past week, we all talked about our favorite five films, or what we thought were the best five films of 2010.
Yep.
And I think that's something that we should do more often, that sort of thing. Like, we should all sort of together but separately talk about our favorite three Pixar films, or what our favorite Coen Brothers movie is.
Oh, absolutely. And the response from the community has been very strong. You guys seem to like that. So for sure. And I think, a big film comes out, let's say, like, what's a big film of next year? Like, or this year, I guess we're.
Gee, I don't know. Green Lantern.
Okay, Green Lantern comes out, and we all weigh in on the blog what we thought of Green Lantern. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm. Excellent idea.
You can do like little reviews. Yeah.
Or that may as well have been an email. Thanks, Bill from Wachowski, New England. That's not a state. Anyway, it is a team. Anyway, that's going to do it. Holy crap. That was a show for sure. Right there is what we had right there. Don't forget to visit the site, filmsack.com. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. We will have emails next week. Next week, by the way, our film is going to be... Oh, it's no longer going to be...
You know
be...
what it is? Do you mean to tell you what it is?
Brian, remind me because I've...
Future Sport.
Oh, oh my gosh. Yeah, Future Sport. All right. So ELR listeners, and there's bound to be a bunch of you there who... know the past discussions regarding Future Sport will want to check this one out. I have not seen Future Sport in ages, so I really don't remember what the crap I'm getting into, and I cannot wait to tackle it for this show. So big stuff coming. Also, this is new year means Netflix put a bunch of new movies, like great movies for our show.
They did.
So we're doing things like Time Cop.
Thank you, Netflix.
Lost Boys. Commando.
Sweet.
Free Jack, baby. Free Jack. Mick Jagger.
Free Jack.
That should be called Free Jagger.
I'm going to go watch all these right now.
Johnny Mnemonic, Predator 2, Universal Soldier. The list goes on.
It's so fun.
So
it's a great time to have Netflix.
That's true. Don't forget to follow us on the Twitter.com/FilmSack. Great way to find out what's going on the blog, shows coming up, what movies we're watching that week, that sort of stuff. You can also leave us reviews on iTunes. We love those. Just as much. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Randy, for Brian, for Brian. We'll see you next time.
Row, row, row,
row, row, your boat gently down.
Aloha. I expect that for hello.
Sing it, Brian Dunaway.
Do old people not camp?
I'm going to be the guy that doesn't sing it.
No. Oh.
You blew it.
Calm down. Calm down.
Today, I feel like the luckiest man.
Oh, man. That just reminded me of Dick Clark for no reason. all right. That was A, our longest episode, and B, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was Star Trek. We had to do it right.
We are so doing Randy's theory. Randy's theory is not, it's getting proven. Like, this isn't a theory. I think it's law.
Sex lies and videotape.
Groundhog Day.
Four weddings and a funeral or multiplicity.
Girl next door pony show.
The horse and pony show.
Eye of the tiger.
The staying alive.
Still staying alive.
Saturday Night Fever. Staying alive.
It's called Staying Alive. Fire. Blue Velvet. Dune. Lawnmower movie.
Twin Peaks.
Fire Walk with Me.
The Twin Peaks stuff.
The original Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy miniseries. Twin Peaks.
Dune.
Mulholland Drive.
Oh, Eraserhead. Eraserhead. Blue Velvet. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Die Hard movie. James Bond.
The Da Vinci Code. National Treasure. National Treasure 2. Night of the Museum 2. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Retrograde.
Minority Report.
Minority Report. Minority Report. Minority Report.
Minority Report. Minority Report.
Minority Report. Book by Philip Dick.
Die Hard. Die Hard.
Die Hard 2. Die Harder.
Die Hard 3. Pink Panther.
Die Hard 3.
The Village. The Village.
The Village.
The Village.
Sixth Sense. The Village. The Village. The Island.
The Island. Unbreakable. Unbreakable.
Fifth Element.
Batman Dark Knight. Fifth Element.
Sin City.
Pulp Fiction. The Kid.
Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men.
Two Men and a Half.
The Die Hards. Die Hard One. Pulp Fiction. Gunsmoke. Radio Serials. Adam's Family. The Big Lebowski. Pulp Fiction.
The Breakfast Club.
Godfather.
Harlem Nights.
Or Harlem Nights. Godfather 2. The Wizard.
Predator. Predator film?
Yeah.
The Predator.
The Predator.
Roast Panels.
And The Omen.
Dune.
Empire Strikes Back.
V. The original series V.
The original V. Freddy Krueger V.
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys. 12 Monkeys.
Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Saving Private Ryan.
Shaving Ryan Privates. Crystal Skull.
E.T.
Adam's Family. Transformer.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.